Hey, so it was really nice getting to know you today.
Yeah, that was such a good date. I had a really good time. Like, just a super amazing time. I can't stress how fantastic this date has been.
You know, I don't know if you're doing anything after this, but if you want to come back to my place.
Yeah. I can be convinced.
Yeah, you know, just something relaxed. We could put on a show.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Yeah, you ever heard of the Knuckles show?
No. What is it? Explain to me what the Knuckles show is in a way that sells me on the idea that it would be something romantic to put on in the background.
Well, you know, it's got Idris Elba in it. And there's a guy named Wade Whipple.
Played by Sex Pot.
Yeah.
Adam Pally. Famous bombshell Adam Pally.
Yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. There's some hot babes in there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Lady with a fuck-ass bomb. Of course.
And we can't forget sex model, icon Pistol Pete. Cuddy.
Oh! Right, Pistol Pete is the sex icon out of the two people we both just met.
Welcome to the Bee and the Berry.
I'm Bee.
And I'm Strawberry.
And this is an irregularly scheduled podcast where we talk about all things Sonic, fan content, fan creation.
It is April right now when you are hearing this.
Correct. We are recording this and releasing this on April 26th.
We are totally not recording this in January.
No, we definitely haven't been together on a trip right now, decided to watch a show and then record this episode ahead of time for release on today, April 26th.
We would never lie to you.
Never. Especially not about something as important as
the Knuckles show.
That's right. We're here to do a one-year retrospective on the infamous Knuckles TV show on Paramount Plus.
The show that rocked the Sonic fandom.
That's right.
Either, you know, you loved it or you hated it.
You loved to hate it.
Yeah.
You hated to love it.
Yeah. I'm sure if you've seen it, you have some sort of opinion.
Yeah.
And now we're here to talk about ours.
Yeah.
Because it's our show.
Later. Yeah, that's right. This is going to be a spoiler-filled review. It's been a year if you haven't seen it yet.
You've had a year.
So. Also, like, what are the big spoilers, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody knows.
Exactly.
They bowl. They're dads.
Yeah.
Flames Kid Cudi. Disaster. Yeah, Kid Cudi. So I don't know. If you haven't seen it yet, you want to, and then you want to come listen to us gab about our experience watching it, do that. But otherwise, we're here to shoot the shit.
Yeah.
And talk freely amongst ourselves and our trusted friends.
Yes.
So we just watched the show. This is your second time watching the show, right?
Yes.
And this is my first time watching the show.
Yeah.
I did not watch the show when it came out.
You watched one episode.
I did, and I forgot everything that happened in that episode, except for one really important detail.
Yeah. Well, we watched that one episode. You had prepared a lovely pasta dish for me.
Aww.
And some wine.
Yeah, really romantic.
It was romantic.
Date setup.
Yeah. I recommend the Knuckles show for dates.
It works.
Yeah.
What is it that Knuckles makes Adam Pally say at some point, like, and I have a way with the human women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Surprisingly sexual show.
Yeah, actually. And I didn't notice this until my second viewing.
Yeah. Well, the reason I didn't really watch it straight off the bat is because I was really excited for the show. And then so many strong opinions came out. I just was like, you know what? There's too many thoughts and feelings I already have about the show. I'm not interested in, like, watching with a lot of preconceived notions. I'm also just not really interested in watching anymore based on what I've seen of the content.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like I really, because I didn't choose to watch it at the moment in time that it came out, which was a very contentious moment in time, I was able to really approach it with an open heart and mind this time watching it with you.
And I definitely think my opinion of the show has changed in this second viewing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the best thing I can say for you, listener, if you're interested in watching the show again after this or for the first time, is to watch it with a friend who you can both, like, have a great time laughing at the show with.
Yeah.
Watching the show is greatly enhanced by doing it with other people, like even the Sonic movies, who you can sit there and, like, watch their reactions to or react together with.
Every part of the show is just me looking over at you, waiting to see your reaction. And you had them.
Did I deliver?
Yeah.
Live reactions. Tell me about your first time watching this show. Can you remember the emotions you felt
at that time? I remember feeling really tired. So I watched a show with my boyfriend. I wanted to watch it as soon as possible because I hate getting spoiled. And I was like, okay, like, if I don't watch this as soon as possible, I'm going to be spoiled on the content. And I was like, I just wanted to watch it. And it was kind of a get it over with thing. I'm glad that we broke it up into two chunks because my boyfriend and I did not.
You watched it all in one sitting?
Yes.
Which is doable, by the way. It's a very short show, 6 episodes, each about 24 to 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Very short watch.
Yeah. But I think we were kind of, like, gagged and not in a good way.
Yeah, whereas I would describe my state of being as gagged, kind of in a good way.
Yeah. I mean, I think because we didn't binge the whole thing in one night trying to get through it, like, it was, like, a little more digestible.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I mean, the show is, again, you're meant to laugh at the show.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're meant to laugh at the show.
Yeah.
Is now when I say my hot take that I enjoyed watching the show. I think people can get the sense that I had a good time.
Yeah.
I enjoyed watching that show.
And I love that for you. I enjoyed watching the show with you.
Yeah. I think that's great.
Yeah.
I definitely wonder if I would have enjoyed watching the show if it wasn't with you as much. Let's talk pros. Let's talk cons. And as we do that, we can get into sort of some of the nitty gritty of the show.
Yeah.
I have a big pro that maybe I'll save for last.
Yeah.
Big pro for me was seeing all the boys in episode one.
Mm-hmm.
I love seeing Tails. I love seeing Sonic in episode one.
Well, I know episode one was directed by Jeff Fowler.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if episode two was also directed by him.
I don't think so.
But I know for a fact episode one was directed by Jeff.
Episode one, we get the setup. And the setup is that Knuckles... God. I don't even remember most of the setup. The only thing
Knuckles
that matters is...
got grounded.
Yes.
And then, basically, Pachacamac is...
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Pachacamac is a ghost that comes to him to tell him to train Wade Whipple. Wade, who is trying to be a bowler.
That's right. The setup is that Wade gets kicked off of his bowling team.
To a...
little girl.
Yeah.
Named Susie.
Yeah.
Pro Susie.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out. And then they come together and they start their road trip to Reno.
Yeah.
And at the end of episode one, doesn't Knuckles get kidnapped?
Yeah.
Okay. By Kid Cudi and woman with a fuck ass bob.
Yeah. And also, this is when Wade tells Knuckles about his tragic story in which his dad abandoned him in a TJ Maxx.
And that is the only thing I remembered about this episode of television. Because, again, we watched this first episode, abandoned the show, and then came back. And the only thing I remembered is the ridiculous premise. Not that child abandonment is something to laugh at, but the absurdity of Wade Whipple sitting Knuckles the Echidna down in earnest at a bowling alley to tell him, like, the greatest trial of my life is when my dad, who taught me everything I knew, abandoned me at a TJ Maxx.
Yeah. And I remember, actually, when we first watched that episode, you didn't even hear that. And I was like, we need to go back. You missed something very important.
Yeah.
And you were like, do we have to? And I'm like, yes. And then we went back and you were kind of gagged.
There's a lot of times watching this show, you will find yourself sitting there like, did I imagine that just happened? Was I not paying attention? Or did that actually just happen? And the answer is pretty usually that did just happen. And you're just playing catch up with the show. Which is an experience that I came to enjoy because the things that were happening in front of us were so wild.
Yeah.
Also in episode one, we meet Jack Sinclair, bounty hunter, mm-hmm. who will come back. And in the end, Wade goes to try and save Knuckles at a ski lodge.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't care for episode two, actually. Episode two was mostly Wade imagining what his rescue will be like, yeah. only for it to be different in a way that was like, yeah, okay, we get it. He's clumsy, he's goofy, he fails upward.
Yeah.
Oh my god, so many cats just treading on our record. Episode two was just a rescue, and I will say, let's talk about big pro for episode two,
Kid Cudi.
Period.
you can tell that Kid Cudi loved being in this show.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
I'm so glad he was here in this show.
Yeah, that charismatic smile.
He has such a great face.
Yeah.
And his expressions all feel so genuine. Like, sometimes you can tell somebody is acting when they make their big expressions. But he, like, if you watch him in the scenes where, you know, fuck-ass Bob woman is doing most of the expositing, if you watch, turn your attention to him, he is listening and reacting very actively.
Yes.
In a way that I appreciate. Because I don't know if he's a trained actor or if he just does these projects for fun, but he is present mm-hmm. in the scene, on the set, living in the moment in a way that I love to watch.
Yeah. I was actually kind of sad he wasn't in movie three, and I'm like, we need him in movie four because he just brings that energy and enthusiasm.
He does. And I said this in a later episode, but I would love to see, because Kid Cudi's character, when he is fighting Wade in the ski lodge, he does say something about his backstory that I forget entirely. But he does say, like, you know why I do this? I used to be in an underground fight ring or something mm-hmm. like that. I don't know what that has to do with
betraying. He wanted to fight people.
I would love it if Kid Cudi came back and became one of Wade or one of Knuckles' like warrior disciples.
Yeah.
And if it was like Wade and Kid Cudi,
yeah.
I think that would be a really fun trio.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if like they were both vying to be Knuckles' star pupil.
Yeah.
I thought they had some funny moments together. I thought they had good energy together. When they did the whole, like, I'm choking you out, and then paused to answer the phone for my mom. Mm-hmm. That was cute, only because they were selling it. And I do have to give Adam Pally some credit, because I do think he was selling it.
He was.
The whole time. Mm-hmm. And obviously all of the comedy didn't come across. But the commitment to the bit was always 100%.
Adam Pally had commitment.
Yes, he did.
The jokes, some of them hit, some of them did not.
Mm-hmm. But either way, sometimes you're laughing at the show because the comedy is absurd and it hits, or you're laughing at the show because the comedy is absurd and it's terrible.
Yeah.
But either way, you're laughing at the comedy show.
Yeah.
Which I think is great. That's
great. You cannot say the show is boring.
No, you can't.
The show is not boring.
The show is ridiculous.
Yes.
And again, I appreciate that about the Sonic movie franchise and its related media, is mm-hmm. it takes big swings, it does what it wants, and it's so often ridiculous for mm-hmm. it. But that is entertaining to watch and see.
Yeah.
And you can never guess where the franchise is going. So yeah, that's episode two. Big pro, Kid mm-hmm. Cudi. I think it's at the end of episode two that got my biggest laugh.
Yes.
This was really kooky.
Be like, lost it on the couch. I was
crying.
And I was just like, all right, I'm going to watch it.
Well, I think the reason why this moment got me is because in episode one, they introduced to us the idea that Jack Sinclair is a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, that's goofy. And clearly this is just a character that this person is doing or bringing. Like, maybe this will come back. Maybe it won't. After Wade rescues Knuckles from the ski lodge, they are in a stolen car listening to this huge rock song. And then, like, having a great time, bouncing their head, going crazy. Rock song is playing. And then the radio is like, hey, it's your big rock guy, the host of the Rock Hour, interrupting the song to bring you breaking news that there is a huge bounty out on Wade Whipple's head. That's right. Lots of bounty hunters are coming for Wade Whipple. And the shots in this moment, one, that premise is absurd.
Yeah.
Like, this small station interrupting the song to announce this bounty, which, like, what is the bounty hunter economy in the Sonic the Hedgehog universe? It's like the reverse inverse opposite of John Wick, like, yeah, assassin world. There's like a whole bounty hunter underground society.
Well, it's above ground because they're announcing it. That's on the right. Radio.
Like, what the fuck? So that, like, it's big enough to just be like, here's the news. Wade Whipple, there's a bounty on your head. And yeah, Adam Pally's reaction expressions in this moment did absolutely get me. Like, they were really selling it. Like, the way he was quarter turned to the camera and frozen, unblinking in these expressions of total shock. Like, what? Me?
Honestly,
and it went on for so long, yeah, and sometimes that's not funny, but it really, I think this scene really worked for me.
Yeah, it really did work for you.
And it was so absurd. I was actually crying laughing at this scene at the end of episode 2, because again, I couldn't have anticipated that would have happened. I couldn't have anticipated anywhere where the show was going, and it just really got me.
You know, Adam Pally does make faces.
He does make faces, and again, lots of times they don't hit, which is why I was so, I think it also added to my pleasant surprise that his faces were really getting me.
Yeah,
in this moment I was just pleasantly surprised by the actual comedy of the whole setup and the payoff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was my biggest laugh. And I do think that the show deserves that laugh. I was actually crying laughing.
I will say the fight choreography at the end of episode 1 was really good.
Mm-hmm.
There was this one part. It's, like, so, like, cheesy action movie in the best way. But, like, she, like, shoots the gun and basically, like,
goes
calypsos.
Flying in the
air.
She,
like, calypsos over herself and, like, shoots at Knuckles. And it's like, you know, like,
that's camp.
Props to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is camp. Yeah, I think the tone in this show is consistent with the tone in the movies.
Yeah.
Maybe
a little more elevated.
Yeah. Or even just, like, leaning further into the craziness. But if you're going to base the show on Wade Whipple, that's what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
Watching the show really reminded me of being a teen and watching these shows that I wasn't, or these movies that I wasn't supposed to watch that were headed by the Lonely Island, like Hot Rod, the figure skating one with Will Ferrell, Nacho Libre, like, mm-hmm, these movies that, what's the big one?
I don't know.
That everyone watches. Vote for Pedro. Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes.
These movies that, like, kind of are unfunny, kind of are funny, but weren't supposed to be watching them because they're a little edgy. And I appreciated that experience because I really enjoy Hot Rod. Like, I love watching those movies. Even though I know they're stupid, I enjoy watching them because they are so silly.
You know, I didn't really grow up watching those movies.
Yeah, you did make a comment that was, like, white humor. And I do think that those movies are super white humor.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, are we shocked? It's the people writing these things and directing these things are white millennials. And I think you can feel that in the lifeblood of all of these movies and this TV show, honestly. Not a bad thing. No. Just a fact.
Yes.
Episode 3 is when we meet Wade's family.
That's right.
Let's
Shabbat.
Talk about a big con that Wanda. I think everybody agreed on. Yes, Wanda Whipple.
Oh, God.
Why did they put that character in this show? Like, I think they needed to see that Wade has a family and, like, a person in his life who's, like, a bully to him or that he's struggling against or, like, a reason for the family to be separate. But Wanda, what is she bringing to the table, literally at all?
I think the thing that gets me is that, like, the rest of the show, she doesn't really do anything to redeem herself.
She has no character growth or arc, so much so that, like, when Wade is saying at the end, like, well, I learned from my mom, I learned from my teacher, I learned from my sister, and he says, like, and she is, like, strong-willed, a little annoying, but, like, gosh dang it, she never gives up. And I was like, you're lying. You hate her, and we hate her, and she's the worst, and nothing ever changed about that.
Yeah.
It was so unearned.
I think, and this is, like, probably why I really didn't like the show when I first watched it, is that, you know, the Sonic movies, they are campy, but there was still an element of them being pretty grounded, all things considered.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like the show was too ungrounded for me, and Wanda is, like, the biggest example of that. Like, just, you know, the fact that her and Wade, like, they basically, the whole joke is that they are fighting like kids. But to me, it's just like, I don't think it's funny when adults act like that. Like, it's kind of cringy and, like,
especially
really grating.
These two people that are in law enforcement.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, one of the main personality traits of Wanda is that she's in the FBI, and that has no bearing on any of this whatsoever, except for the character to continually say, I'm better than you, I'm better than you. But there are other reasons to have that belief, other things to do. I just didn't know what being a part of the FBI brought to the table for her. But I don't know what anything about her brought to the table for her.
Well, you said this when we were watching it, but it was like they basically were... It was trying to be two funny men in the same scene, and they were clashing.
Correct. There was, like you said, no grounded reactions to these people. Not even the mom, who's just like, this is what my kids do. And it's like, okay.
The mom was great, by the way.
Pro the mom.
Yes. I felt like serving. In every scene that she had with Knuckles, which I feel like, you know, those scenes are harder, like those hybrid scenes are harder to shoot. Because, you know, the actors are just looking at a ball or a puppet or something. You know, they're not, like...
They don't actually have a scene
partner. They don't
have... Yeah.
Or their scene partner is not Idris Elba.
Yeah.
But, like, the scenes that she had were very natural. They made sense. Like, you could tell that she is just a seasoned veteran actress. And she knew her shit. And it really showed. I enjoyed her character a lot, honestly.
100%. And we'll get into this a little bit more, but, like, there is an emotional through line of abandonment. And she is the only person who treats it with any gravity.
Yes.
And it is effective, so much so that I wish there was space in this show for them to be a little bit, like, to go with her there, to be a little bit more serious about the actual childhood wound of Wade and Wanda, which, by the way, doesn't matter at all to this show, Wanda.
I also think the thing about the childhood abandonment is that, like, we see it with Wade, but we don't necessarily have that same gravity with Knuckles or, like, as much of, like, because Knuckles, I mean, wasn't abandoned. His dad was murdered.
Yes.
You know, but it's like, I didn't really kind of get how Knuckles was supposed to help Wade process
the
his trauma.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll tie that back to episode 4, which is when Wade goes on his big emotional journey to sort of, like, learn the lesson of the warrior and then come out and apply that and do big things.
The musical episode.
Is this episode the one called The Flames of Disaster?
Yes.
Okay. This is a pretty iconic episode.
Yeah.
And it's directed by Yorma Taccone, who is of The Lonely Island. Kyle.
Yes.
From movie 3.
Yeah.
I think he was a great director for this episode, and a lot of the choices made were really funny, really campy. The only problem I have with is, actually, I think in the script, which is they do this big musical, they learn the big lesson, which is about the heart of a warrior, which I agree actually doesn't really have much to do with betrayal or forgiveness or dads or anything at all. And then he comes out and does a little joust with Jack Sinclair Bounty Hunter, who's the person who got his bounty or was trying to capture him for the bounty, and they do a joust, which has nothing to do with bowling, which is actually the big tournament that we're headed to.
Yeah.
So I wish the lesson that Knuckles had learned in the moment when he gained the Flames of Disaster, and therefore Wade learns in the moment, had to do with, I don't know, trusting, loving, forgiving, or trying again, which it sort of did, but it was very vague. It was just the heart. You have heart, which we all have heart. And then he had come out of the lesson and done something more relevant to the main plot, which is this big old bowling tournament.
Yeah. It felt like the episode was fun. It just fell out of place in some aspects. And also, I mean, this is the part where I sound like a musical theater snob, because I did musical theater in high school and college.
Mm-hmm.
I think the musical aspect of the episode, I thought the costumes were great and the staging and everything was fun. I didn't really like that they were leaning very heavily into, like, the mediocre singing, if only because the premise is already so absurd, and this number is actually quite long.
Yeah, it is. It's the whole episode, yeah, essentially.
It's the whole episode, and, like, when you want people to listen and engage with something for an extended period of time, like, you should make it sound good. And I know they got what's his name to sing part of it.
Michael Bolton.
Michael Bolton, yeah. But, like, it was just a little, like the singing just kind of got under my skin a little bit. And I'm like, I wish that they actually committed more to
the production.
To the production, to trying as hard as possible. And then I think it would have been like, wow, this is really funny to mm-hmm. me, because they are putting on a full-on musical theater number in earnest.
Yeah.
But the lyrics are bad.
Yeah.
And the premise is absurd.
And I did like all of the practical stage effects yes. that we saw. I thought the puppeting was super cool. Mm-hmm. I loved the little costumes and yeah. like the how you can see the stage hands and the black morph suits, the animatronics. Like, it's all very kitschy and campy in a way that is fun, that would have been even more enhanced in absurdity and comedy by an actually well-produced, well-written piece of music, which I didn't think the number was.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything about the music.
Yeah.
Because it was just them sort of rock opera speaking through things.
Yeah.
Versus, like, a musical theater song that yeah. would be fun and catchy.
And I think it would have just been, like, more fun if they actually committed to the music part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, maybe this is just me being a music snob.
I don't know. But I do think, again, funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was funny.
It was funny.
I thought it was funny. I hope I'm not losing credibility and taste with our audience by, like, laughing at some of this stuff genuinely. Having the experience of watching movie 3, which I think was making crazy choices like this show was too,
mm-hmm.
sitting in the theater watching the Robotnik dance number
yes.
is absurd. And you laugh at it because it's funny and it's wild. And what the hell is it doing in this
yeah.
movie? And I think that permission to laugh like that at the wacky choices this franchise is making mm-hmm. really benefited me watching this show again for the first time, knowing this is crazy
yeah.
and you have to laugh at it because it's crazy.
I will say, I do think, like, the movies themselves, they have a lot more earnest and grounded moments. So, like,
because they have a stronger plot.
Yeah, they have a stronger plot. So it's, you know, like, when those absurd moments happen, like, they land in the sense that, like, oh, whoa,
where did this come from?
Yeah.
yeah.
But if, I think this whole thing is, like, absurd
yeah.
from top to bottom.
Well, and again, the plot is Wade reconciles with his dad who abandoned him in a TJ Maxx at a bowling tournament in Reno.
Yeah.
That's the plot. That's ridiculous. And you're right. Like, maybe if they had treated any of the scenes with Wade's dad with, like, a touch
more
of sincerity,
weight.
It
yeah.
would have felt like there was something of substance here. But moving into episodes 4 and 5, which is when we meet Pistol Pete, there isn't any. This
no.
guy is another crazy character. So much so that I kept saying to until my husband, who is, oh, I talked to him. No, I doxed still.
Fuck. You doxed me and your husband.
Shit! I doxed two people in one that I only caught once. Okay, sorry. I kept saying to Straub and my husband, is this really his dad? Or is this a
yeah.
joke? Like, are we going to find out that this isn't his dad?
I remember when it was coming up and you were like, is this his dad?
No
and
way.
I didn't want to say anything.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, I just want you to, like, take it in.
I wasn't convinced. I was like, oh, no, this is some joke. And maybe his mom lied to him his whole life to make him feel better or something.
Yeah.
Especially also, like, the thing we know about Wade and his dad is that his dad did raise him for a significant portion of his life.
Yeah.
Taught him everything he knows about bowling. So, like, Wade knew him for a good chunk of his young life.
Yeah.
And when they see each other, you know, Cary Elwes doesn't recognize him, there's no sort of interesting moment of connection when they see each other again for the first moment that made me think, yes, okay, this is this man's father.
Yeah.
It's treated again with the same flippancy as everything else. Where yeah. It's like, oh, who are you? Oh, blah, blah, blah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, cute.
I just got chosen.
Yeah, Kat just sat I'm on being her lap. Licked.
It's so ticklish.
Oh my god. And then of course there is an interesting conversation that happens with Wade and his mom for all of a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Wade connects with his dad, they have a conversation, and then Wade's mom says, "Hey, I saw you with your dad, and I just want to let you know that like he's getting people to love him is one of his greatest strengths, and you should be careful with him because it's great that you could see him again, but mm-hmm. you never want to forget what he did to you. And also, hey, what he did to me."
Yes.
His wife. And Wade says, "Hear you, Mom. Thank you for your input. I'm allowed to have my relationship with him, and you're allowed to have your relationship with him. And yeah. it's okay if those are different, and I don't want to hurt you with them, but I do want to explore that."
Yeah.
It's an interesting conversation where there are no wrong people in that argument. No. And I said to you out loud, gosh, I wish this argument mattered. I know it's not going to because they're going to reveal that the dad is like a cartoon villain in yeah. 2 seconds. And so none of this actually matters.
Yeah.
And what did they do?
Reveal that he's a cartoon villain.
And he kidnapped his wife and his daughter, which, by the way, again, who gives a shit about his daughter? He, like, turned them into the evil people, and
the show also said, who gives a shit about his daughter?
Yeah.
Because, fuck-ass Bob lady was about to shoot her, and he was like, you can go ahead.
Yeah, everybody was like, do it. I dare you. Yeah. It's, like, tough. That's tough.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing, is that, like, yeah, that one moment of poignancy,
mm-hmm.
it just like that feels very random now.
Yeah, right.
In comparison to all of the jaunty, yeah. campy absurdity yeah. of this show.
And the show has trained you not to take it seriously.
Exactly. And it's like, so you want us to take yeah the, like
you want us to let an emotional moment land?
Yeah.
Why would we do that?
Exactly.
We know.
And like, this is all the way now in episode 5.
Yes. There's one more episode left in the show.
Yeah.
So the dad is a villain, turns his kids in, and then Wade moving into episode 6, or I think it's at the end of episode yeah. 5, Wade has to choose to betray Knuckles. I liked this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like Knuckles. Yes. I think the reason why this moment works is because, and this is the big pro of the show, Knuckles is great. And I do actually really like this adaptation of him and his character. Yeah. And I like Idris Elba as him, too.
Yeah. There's, like, in that scene, you know, when Wade's downstairs and he's trying to fib about, mm-hmm. like, oh, yeah, like, go you should upstairs. Come up to the penthouse. Mm-hmm. And Knuckles is, like, so earnest.
There is an innocence to yes. this Knuckles.
To this meathead.
Yeah. That is not stupid, is not pathetic.
Just
sweet. Naive. Yeah, just sweet.
Yeah.
Like, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
And he has been betrayed, but he has the heart of a warrior, and he is here to believe in people yeah. who he believes in.
Because,
he
you
can't
know,
help it.
Because he trusts Wade.
Yeah.
You know?
And you see, that comes across
yeah.
in the moment. And also, like, he's wearing his little hat. He's yeah. got his gummy worms. There is something, like, there's just something so sweet about him. I love him.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. Idris did an amazing job with Knuckles.
He did.
Knuckles is one of my favorite parts about this franchise.
I agree. And even in movie 3, like, not to bring it back to movie 3, which, again, we didn't have when the show came out, he was one of my favorite parts of the movie, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great stuff.
I mean,
stuff.
You can tell that Idris loves being Knuckles.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I've seen, like, tweets and stuff where everyone's like, yeah, go see Sonic 3. And he's like, yeah, Knuckles. yeah. Actually, a joke that I really do like from episode 3,
mm-hmm.
the Shabbat episode, is when Wade's mom kept saying Knuckles.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's funny.
That's really funny. Why?
And I also think it is kind of funny that she is a little thirsty for Knuckles.
She sure is. There is chemistry between Knuckles and this adult woman. Yeah. The way that they're like holding hands, they're sitting on the couch.
Well, she says, "You want to come to the spa with me for massages?" And he's
like, "Fuck yeah, dude."
Yeah.
Or even when he's like, "I'm really impressed by how muscly you are, woman." Like, yeah. That's good shit. There is something there.
Oh my God.
Yeah. On the topic of surprisingly sexual content, also in episode 3, there is a lot of talk. Actually, throughout this whole show, they cannot stop talking about balls.
No.
They just can't. And obviously, bowling is a big old part of the plot, but it's just wild how much they talk about Wade's balls and Knuckles' balls and balls. They're at the Shabbat dinner, and he's like, "I've never seen such swollen balls in my life." He says swollen balls. And that's, like, so dirty, I almost feel like I want to bleep it, you know? Like, it's crazy.
No, the craziest moment to me was when Wanda stuck the metal detector straight between his legs.
Straight between his legs. That happened, and I, like, didn't even know. Again, it happened so fast. You're like, did that just happen?
Yeah.
Did they just, like, wave the
wand? Violate?
Yeah. Just waved that wand between his legs like he had a dick. Shocking and crazy. And in that same episode, Wade has a cardboard cutout of a bodybuilder, a female bodybuilder. And there's, like, a joke that unfolds over the course of that scene where he's like, "Oh, my God, you've touched everywhere on this cardboard cutout. You've touched it so much it's worn down."
Yeah, there's some white spots on the cardboard.
Oh, God. Kind of shocking. I don't have any other thing to say aside from that was I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, all of that happened in episode 3.
Yeah. These episodes are just jam-packed.
Yeah.
Anyway,
they said we have a limited series. We are going to put everything in
it. It moved at such a breakneck pace. And yet also sometimes it felt like it went on for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy. So back to episode 6 and the big finale. Wade wins the tournament. Knuckles saves the day. Flames of disaster appear.
The flames of disaster.
And I think at this point we should mention the villain of the show.
Yeah.
Whose name I truly feel like I never learned.
Look it up.
I do not know this man or anything about him. I think the show suffered from his inclusion. They did not spend enough time on him. They could have just had these gun agents doing something for some other reason, potentially for themselves even, and then Pistol Pete as the secondary villain. But the way this Dr. Eggman sort of inventor just popped in, added nothing except to remind us that there's a big bad for him to fight at the end, and then just, like, got crushed and then left.
Yeah.
I just feel like every time he popped in, I checked out. Because I did not care about him.
He is named The Buyer.
Okay, so he didn't have a name.
He didn't have a name.
Yeah, The Buyer.
Just the name they probably put in the credits.
Right, well, and they say, "We have a buyer. We have a buyer all the time for Knuckles' power."
And actually, in that same note, there was something that we were talking about. This is when your husband was watching with us also. When Kid Cudi, the buyer, and fuck-ass Bob lady,
whose name I also don't know.
I think her name is Agent Willoughby, but okay, like calling her fuck-ass Bob lady.
Yeah, who cares?
You know, they're getting into their villain motives.
Yes.
And she said she has an interesting kind of motive where, you know, she's like, yeah, we have these, like, super-powered aliens that have intense, you know, powers that could actually, like, power weapons and stuff, and we're just letting them live in Montana while they're dropping quills that could be used as weapons, you know,
just and by stepping outside.
Exactly. And Gunn doesn't want to do anything about it because they want to leave them alone, and that's why she was mad at Gunn.
Yeah, that's why she's betraying Gunn.
Yeah. By taking said quills and then giving them to a super villain.
Yeah.
Who will then use these weapons of mass destruction
to wreak havoc on the Earth.
Exactly.
Which is why she said she was mad at Gunn.
Well, she literally said she wants to protect the planet.
She said that.
Verbatim.
She said she was mad at Gunn and betraying Begun because she cares about protecting the planet. And she didn't think that they were doing that by letting the aliens
run amok. And that's why she wants to sell illegal weapons for money.
This all happened in, like, the span of, it was, like, episode 4 or 5. And it was, you know, the buyer telling us his story and then her telling us a story and then them agreeing to keep going. I was like, Jesus Christ, I don't care.
Yeah.
And it was such a long scene and they hadn't given me a reason to care about any of these characters. And the only reason why I care about Kid Cudi is because he's Kid Cudi.
Yeah.
And he's fun. Mm-hmm. And he's really fun.
Yeah.
And he doesn't monologue at us like this. He just has a kooky wild time.
Yeah. He just smiles.
Like, if you are not going to, like, have the substantive plot.
At least have the sparkle.
Or, like, if you're not going, this is a purely comedy series, don't try and sell me on serious villains.
Yeah.
Don't bother giving them a backstory outside of something equally as crazy kooky and let them run amok in the story. Like, don't try and pretend like these are scary people.
Yeah.
They're characters.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I didn't care for the buyer. I thought he was a waste of time.
Yeah, I know that they wanted this series to be as insular as possible because they don't want it to be required viewing to understand the movies. Which is why in episode 6 that, like, the whole thing is they kind of warp fuck-ass Bob and Kid Cudi, like, basically in some sort of, like,
collision space of time rings. Loop. Yeah,
loop. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's, I mean, I want Kid Cudi back in the movies. I don't know if he's going to come back because they're going to be like, well,
maybe
he'll
do a cameo.
Maybe.
You know, that would be fun for the girls who watch the show and like Kid Cudi. But yeah, they take care of their own problem. And at the end, Knuckles is like, I'm home, baby.
Yeah.
Which, cool.
Yeah, I guess. Well, it's like, the thing is, they talk about home and finding family, but then, like, Knuckles lives with the Wachowskis. Like, he didn't find it with
the Whipples.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still just living
with the whole Wachowskis. Thing is, the show, like, has him finding it with the Whipples, but then it's like, no, he's the Wachowskis.
Yeah.
Like, I wish that actually episode 6 would have had Knuckles going back to the Wachowskis.
Yeah.
And, like, having a moment of, like, where have you been, young man? And he's like, I'm home.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be so cute. Instead, they go into the ruined bowling alley, pry the tournament trophy out of Pistol Pete's hands, and then together do a big ol' freeze frame jump. And that's the end.
Yeah. There was one detail in episode 6 that I remember when the show first came out, everyone was hung up on this because they're like, oh, like, it's a shadow Easter egg. But I'm going to get a conspiracy theory here and say it was not meant to be about Shadow. It's the part where they talk about, oh, yeah, like, back in 1974, we were visited by an extraterrestrial. Like, this is not the first time it's happened to us, except, oh, this guy wasn't red. And so when it came out, of course, Sonic 3 wasn't out yet, and people were like, oh, this is going to be a reference to Shadow, because that is 50 years ago.
Yeah.
However, from what we've seen of Sonic Movie 3, spoilers, Shadow has not left
the government facility
at any point during the year 1974.
So who's the alien?
Exactly.
I guess we'll have to wait and find out.
So that's why, and if you've heard the rumors about time travel being a thing potentially in the future movies, whether it's 4 or whether it's 5, it could very well be Sonic that they're referring to.
Could be any of them, except for Knuckles and Shadow.
Yeah.
Fun. Yeah. We'll see if the movies decide to carry that thread through, or if it's, who knows, you know, what they're weaving intentionally and what they're throwing at the wall to see if it'll stick and then not falling through on. A few other Easter eggs that are through lines. There's a Keanu Reeves poster on Wade's room that gets a pretty clear shot. That's fun. Also, La Última Pasión, the TV show.
Yeah.
I actually think that was in movie two as well, but don't quote me on that. But Knuckles is watching that show in the hotel room, which is like fun. Yeah. I love that there's an in-universe campy show that they all are like, did you watch the new episode of La Última Pasión? Mm-hmm. If I was writing a fic in this universe, I would include references to that.
I think you would just write La Última Pasión.
Oh, what is, what was stolen if not an alternate universe? La Última Pasión. Oh, man. That's fun. I like that they are building a cinematic universe, even if, you know, the through lines are their cheesy show.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Just some other notes to talk about. This is a big one for me, and I do want to spend some time on it. Yeah. I think Maddie and Knuckles have serious relational issues. I think they need to see a family therapist, because at the beginning of episode one, she does not understand him at all. They're at odds, and she grounds him. He is rude to her. She doesn't have any grace for him. And then in movie three, it always strikes me the moment when I've seen it four times now. Mm-hmm. It always strikes me when Maddie was like, geez, okay, no need to get growly with me, buddy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that is a weird reaction to have to your kid who is like, no, I'm telling you this in earnest, we can't do this.
Yes,
he wasn't even overly growly with her.
If anything, they were talking about this was the part where they're talking about the Master Emerald. That is a very high stakes situation. You do remember that, like, you guys like almost died, right?
And he says the Master Emerald must not be wielded by anyone for vengeance, and she says, geez, No need to get growly with me, buddy. And that always strikes me as odd. Yeah. I'm like, what a reaction to have as a parent. Feels like slightly manipulative to your child's emotions. And I don't think they've resolved their relational issues. I don't know what they have going on, but this show solidified it. I've seen movie three before I'd seen this show. And I always thought that line was odd. And then I watched the show. I was like, they're at odds.
Yeah.
Other things. Who's policing Green Hill? In the time that Wade and Knuckles take this trip.
Yeah.
Tom is not here.
Yeah, Tom's away.
James Marsden's not going to be in the show, obviously. Tom's away. And then Waden
abandons his post.
Yeah. Who's policing Green Hill?
And the thing is, it's not even like before like Knuckles gets on the road. I mean, Wade was planning to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's not a good idea to be without some sort of emergency services. With, like, no one there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think they just kind of want us to roll with it, which, like, okay, whatever.
Sure, but
like,
yeah. This isn't a serious world.
Yeah.
But it is just funny. It was a thought I couldn't help but
it's
have.
It's very funny.
And then the last big thing that we have yet to talk about, and it's so interesting to me that the culture of the cinematic universe is one that you, like, do not have without blatant, loud product placement.
Yes.
This show included, in a lot of ways. And I went in here, like, watching the show with the intent to track the product placement because I knew it was going to be wacky, and indeed it was.
Yes.
Big one right off the bat, Doritos.
Mm-hmm.
That was a meme after the episode came out circulating about, you know, Knuckles.
Eats Doritos. Cool Ranch Doritos.
He says, God, I love these delicious chips. Yum, yum, yum. My favorite chip, Cool Ranch Doritos.
Yeah.
Small ones include Marshalls, the speaker brand, which you caught. Icy, there's a big shot of Wade going, and I'll take one Icy. And then a big old shot from the top of him filling up that blue Icy. Nickelodeon Lays is all over there. Lay's, when they get you know, their food at the diner, there's a big bag of Lay's chips sitting face out for everybody to see. Toyota, they mention a lot of Toyota vehicles by name. Nintendo Switch, Susie plays Nintendo Switch. ESPN, the guys work for ESPN. And then two other huge ones. Actually, three other huge ones. TJ Maxx, obviously.
Yeah.
At first, I wondered, is that product placement? Because the first time they mention it is with Wade. When he says, the worst thing that ever happened to me happened at a TJ Maxx.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, the two bowling announcers are like, But let's not talk about the childhood abandonment. Let's talk about all these amazing deals at TJ Maxx. And it's like, oh my God, how much more blatant could you get?
Yeah.
Similarly, Spotify got a big moment where you can see the screen, which makes me laugh.
Yeah. And then the fact that they put that Spotify playlist on Spotify for real.
Yeah.
You can go and listen to Wagejammers.
Yep. But he's about to hype himself up to go rescue Knuckles. And he's like, hold on and let me stop and put on my Spotify jams.
Yeah.
And then he like hits it with his nose. It's so silly.
Crazy.
And then the one that shocked me that happened multiple times was Facebook Marketplace. That one was crazy. I could never have seen that coming.
Yeah.
Not only do they mention it a few times and they get a shot of somebody's computer screen with Facebook Marketplace, it's a huge moment in the musical number where the demon's like, and now I'm going to go shop on Facebook Marketplace. Like, what?
Yeah. I mean, I guess they had to get the budget for the show from somewhere.
Of course. And they always do. This is not unique to this series. It just, I actually think this series pulls it off, this universe even, pulls it off in a better way than most places do because of the precedent that Olive Garden set.
Yes.
Which is, this is goofy. It's so on the nose. But then they embraced it. And now it's part of the camp.
Yeah.
A lot of other things you watch, I think of the Mean Girls movie that just came out. You're like, oh my God, this is so blatant and also so random. Mm-hmm. And you can just tell and it feels like I'm being sold things.
Yeah.
Whereas somehow they've made this culture of like laughing.
Yeah.
Laughing at product placement. Yeah, at product placement in a way that like still is obvious, still is fulfilling their obligation without us eye-rolling at it, which, like, I think is way better for the people that they are marketing for than if we all did eye-roll at it.
Yeah. I also think about, like, I mean, this is a subtle one. In the first movie, Zillow.
Yes. That was not subtle. Once again, it was a big shot on a computer with the logo, and she was like, I'm just searching for homes on Zillow.
Well, it was only done once.
It was only done once.
That's what I mean.
But it's, you can always tell because they say an ad.
Yeah.
That's all the ones that I got. But boy, were they there.
Yeah.
I was not disappointed.
Yeah. Looking at your other notes here.
Yeah. This one's...
Love when Nux caught that chain.
Yeah. Nux is... Yeah.
He's great.
He's great.
Yeah. Idris Elba, if you listen to this episode and you want to come on our podcast, we would be more than happy.
We'd be all right with that. I think we could pencil you in, probably.
Yeah. You know, we just got to check our schedule. Yeah.
We'd be willing.
I want a Tales spinoff show.
Yeah, well, let's actually talk about what comes next a little bit. I don't think they're going to get a second season of this.
No.
But I know that they've talked about a Shadow spinoff show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's been any talk of a Tales show.
I know.
I don't want to break your heart. But a girl can
dream.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But I do think we could potentially see another spinoff show in the future.
Yeah.
Whether that be more Knuckles or more Shadow or Tales.
Yeah.
He's always on the table.
I think we have been seeing some Tales love after movie 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, I'm manifesting because I think there would be a demand. Tails is so cute and cuddly.
So cute.
He's a Pokemon.
You know what I would love?
What?
Because, you know, these things are all about pairing a guy with a human.
Yeah.
Pair James Marsden and Sonic, pair Wade Whipple and Knuckles. I would love to see Agent Stone and Tails show.
Yes.
I don't think they'd do Agent Stone because I think he might be on track to be the next big villain.
Yeah.
But their moments in 3 were really cute together.
Yeah. I mean, Shadow and Maddie.
Fascinating. Shadow and Susie.
Oh, yeah.
The bowling prodigy.
Let's give Susie her flowers.
Oh, my God. There's a shot. So Susie's kind of always floating around. She's like a child bowling prodigy who doesn't say much but also has an attitude. Girl Scout.
Yeah.
They treat her as sort of like a nuisance.
In the first half.
Like, she steals Wade's spot on the team, but eventually she becomes Wade's second player. And there's a shot in the final episode where chaos is breaking out in the... And Wade and her have some fun shots too, where they're bowling, they're dancing, they're high-fiving each other. There seems to be like a cute little connection happening there. And then there's a shot when chaos is breaking out, and it's like Susie huddled under the bowling, under the like shuttle that brings the bowling balls through and cleans them. Like, and she is afraid for her life. She is whimpering, terrified, like backed up against this thing, like, Mom! And it's like so sad. Yeah, but it's upsetting.
Yeah. Can I say something that we cut out of here? Because it's very inappropriate.
Sure.
But I'm just like, oh God, it feels too close to school shooting.
Yes.
Like duck and cover.
No, no. It feels visceral because it does feel like a child in America whose life is being threatened.
Yeah.
And like that's a real problem that we have to deal with.
It's just like, it's crazy.
I don't know if I will cut that because you're right. Like, it activates that sense in you. Like, that's why it hits you so hard, is it activates this feeling that we all live in fear of.
It's just a little wild to me because, like, when they put that in there, like, I don't know if they wanted us to feel a feeling or if they wanted us to laugh. And I'm like, I really hope you didn't want us to laugh.
And like, it's like this moment of a like child afraid hiding, and the resolution of that moment is her parents come and get her.
Yeah,
but the moment is so impactful, it almost, and she and Wade have sort of gone on a journey together. Like, their relationship status has changed from enemies to friends to even we are working together to win, teammates. And I thought the resolution of that moment, Wade, whose journey is to become a warrior, is to be like, I got you, Susie, and like get her to safety or get her back to her parents or something, which I think would have been impactful and
a helping big, Wade.
Exactly. It would have endeared us more towards Wade, who is just a goof.
Yeah.
He's a big goofball. Like, that's an actual thing that a warrior hero would do, is save a child who is afraid.
Yes.
Doesn't happen. But it is crazy. We both looked at each other in that moment because I was like, oh, that was really sad.
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah, I know.
Like, oh, God. Yeah. It was like, it was triggering stuff right there, honestly.
I agree. But yeah, but she was good. She was really a fun little through line, I think.
Yeah.
Anything else specific before we say our big piece and send the Knuckles show back to oblivion where it sits on Paramount Plus for you to watch?
I see ass in the notes here.
Where did I say that? Oh, this note is cops suck ass.
Yeah.
I'm anti all the cop propaganda happening in this show and in the Sonic universe in general.
I will say,
especially because Wade is such a goob and so is Wanda.
Yeah.
I just like, God, I hate that this man is a cop, which he like says several times. But there's also like a joke about how like, I'm not prepared for this. And then it's him at like cop training and he's just watching cop movies. I'm like, cops suck. Anyway.
Yeah. We also, the Tournament of Champions.
Is a big thing. That's the bowling tournament, but they call it the Tournament of Champions.
I can't believe you wrote the Knuckle Show.
I know. I didn't want it to get out because I knew people were going to bamboo me for it. But yeah I didn't have a hand.
The Extraordinary wrote the Knuckle Show.
Fun fact. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Find your credits on IMDb.
That was my one contribution, actually, is just the Tournament of Champions.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, the vaguest, broadest title for something that could exist.
Yeah. I mean, it works.
It does work. It applies to everything. It's a Tournament of Champions. But it did make me laugh.
Yeah.
Ghosts! Oh! Wait, we almost skipped over this. Let's talk about Pachacamac.
Yes.
What the hell is he doing here? And what? Why? When he first appears, which is in episode one, he just poofs into Knuckles' attic and is like, hey, kid. And Knuckles is like, oh, hey. Like, this happens to him all the time.
Yeah.
And then in movie three, he's like, there's no such thing as a friendly ghost.
Yeah.
And he's afraid
Knuckles
of ghosts.
Is afraid of ghosts.
Yeah.
So what is the truth?
Yeah, what is the truth? And also, why is Pachacamac here, honestly? Like, and how does he get here? Where does he chill? What?
Yeah.
He doesn't impart lessons. Also, he imparts the exposition, which is you need to train Wade Whipple to be a warrior. The question he does not answer is why?
I mean, I think the why, which is not really done well, is like to continue the values of the echidnas, but, even though they're gone. But it's like, you're not really doing that.
And also give us a reason why Wade Whipple is the guy.
Yeah.
Why is he the guy when there are so many other people who could be the people who you can pass these values and the legacy on to?
I mean, I think it was supposed to be like a test for Knuckles to train someone who...
That was never said and not communicated. This is for you to prove that you are a good leader is by taking somebody who's difficult and turning them into a warrior.
Yes.
Like, that was not explained. And it feels just like, poof. It almost feels akin to Walters in movie 3.
Yeah.
Like, hello, I'm here to give you your journey, your inciting incident, and then I will go back to where I came from. And there's so many questions. And it's... You laugh at it because it's crazy, but it's not very impactful or well written or anything.
Walters in movie 3 was...
The way that makes me laugh out loud to crying every time I watch it. It's so funny. It's so funny. Anyway. Yeah, Pachacamac. He's there.
Yeah, and Sinclair.
And Sinclair, he's there too.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny when he was first introduced, but the more I realized that, like, he was actually a character, I was like, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'd rather just be a bit than a character. Because you're not going to get me emotionally invested in anyone, you know?
Yeah.
By...
Slicing the hair was crazy.
Yeah. I wish that he had put it on the helmet and, like, had a little ponytail on his helmet.
Yeah.
Instead of the scorpion tail.
Oh, my God. No, you mean on Wade's helmet.
Yeah, on Wade's helmet, exactly. So that it looked like he had a little ponytail coming out of it.
It was the scorpion on Wade's helmet was, like, an allusion to, like, this weird bit that... Sinclair said, where it's like, oh, like,
I'm a scorpion.
Scorpion riding the frog's back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, all that to say, though, I laughed a lot.
Yeah.
And I had a rip-roaring good time watching the show.
I laughed.
I know you did.
Yeah.
I'm not mad that the show exists.
No, I don't. I think there are far worse things that could have happened with the Knuckles show.
Agreed. I think that everybody was just as committed as they are in the movies. I think that I laughed a lot. And I think that I really enjoyed seeing Knuckles do more things.
Yeah.
Those are my big pros, my big takeaways.
I only just want Knuckles to do even more things now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And with a little bit more of a serious plotline at its heart.
Yeah.
But yeah, this big note at the top, in all caps, that's goofy. That was goofy.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
It's okay for it to be goofy.
Yeah. Do you enjoy Goofy? Do you enjoy Knuckles?
Yeah. Do you hate us for our opinions that we have on the show?
I mean, honestly, if you do, like, say it. Like, I, like... At me, bro.
Oh my God. You are inciting violence.
Well, I mean, I'll just be like, cool story.
Yeah.
You know?
No, like, 100%. Your opinions on the show are your opinions on the show.
For yeah. Sure. I mean, you're the one getting mad over the Knuckles show. You know?
And I promise it's not worth getting mad
over.
It's
not.
It's really not. Yeah, but do tell us your opinions on if you've watched it again since your first watching, if you watched it in the first wave and had strong opinions, if you feel chill or different about it now, anything that made you laugh, that you hated.
Do you believe my conspiracy theory?
Do you believe in the conspiracy theory about the alien from the 70s?
Yeah.
And of course, you know, do you wield the flames of disaster?
Yeah. Do you feel that in your heart?
Yeah.
Open your heart.
Yeah. To the flames of disaster. And you too could be an Echidna warrior.
Yeah.
I think that's the big takeaway. For sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Thanks for enjoying this retrospective on the Knuckles show.
Yeah. We hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah. And of course, as we say at the end of every episode of The Bee and the Berry,
the flames of disaster!